Surrendering identity, leaving false identity at the feet of Jesus. We live in a culture obsessed with identity. Women are told, find yourself, live your truth, follow your heart, be whoever you feel like you want to be. The world constantly screams to women that their value comes from appearance, success, relationships, approval of the masses, followers, influence, and performance. Social media intensifies this pressure where we compare and perform and impress, and we have to have filters. We strive, we pretend, we seek validation through likes and views. But Jesus gives a completely different invitation. Instead of exalt yourself, he says in Luke 9:23, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. Biblical surrender is not surrendering to culture, emotions, or self-discovery. Biblical surrender is surrendering our entire lives to Jesus as Lord. The Christian life is not about making Jesus part of our lives. It is surrendering, dying to self, living an entirely surrendered life. Luke 7:36 through 50 is going to be our main portion of scripture for this evening. Luke 7:36 through 50 says, then one of the Pharisees invited him to eat with him. He entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in the town who was a sinner found out that Jesus was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster jar of perfume and stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears. She wiped his feet with her hair, kissing them and anointing them with perfume. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him. She's a sinner. Jesus replied to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. He said, say it, teacher. A creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Since they could not pay it back, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered, I suppose the one he forgave more. You have judged correctly, he told him. Turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she, with her tears, has washed my feet and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with olive oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. That's why she loved much. But the one who is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The woman at Jesus' feet, this woman entered the room carrying shame, guilt, labels, fear, regret, a reputation that the identity culture gave her, and sins. Everyone in the room already had an opinion about her. Simon saw a sinful woman, but Jesus saw a woman in need of grace. A woman who completely surrendered her pride, her shame and fear. She didn't care what anyone thought or said about her. She wasn't there to be seen. Notice that she came in behind Jesus and focused on his feet, honoring him. Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth said, brokenness is the shattering of my self-will, the absolute surrender of my will to the will of God. It is saying, yes, Lord, no resistance, no chafing, no stubbornness, simply submitting myself to his direction and will in my life. The woman came condemned, she left forgiven. She came ashamed, she left free. Not because she improved herself, but because she surrendered herself completely to Jesus. Unconcerned about the judging crowd, she solely focused on Jesus. Biblical surrender is not self-improvement, behavior modification, image management, religious performance. Biblical surrender means laying down pride, denying self-rule, surrendering control, choosing Christ over comfort, submitting every part of life to Jesus. Jesus never invited us to find ourselves. He called us to die to ourselves. Just as Luke 9:23 says, "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Genesis 3:1 through 5 gives us another part of the story of the serpent and sin and a woman. Genesis 3:1 through 5 says, "Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it, or you will die.' 'No, you will certainly not die,' the serpent said to the woman. 'In fact, God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" The serpent tempted Eve with this lie: "You can be like God." At its core, sin says, "I want control. I decide truth. I determine identity. I define good and evil." And culture still preaches that same message today. Define yourself. Trust in yourself. Worship yourself. Build your own truth. The world says, "Promote yourself." Jesus says, "Deny yourself." The world says, "Follow your heart." Jesus says, "Follow me." The world says, "Reinvent yourself." Jesus says, "Be transformed." The world says, "Seek approval." Jesus says, "Seek obedience." The world says, "Protect yourself." Jesus says, "Surrender yourself." The world says, "Build your kingdom." Jesus says, "Carry your cross." Finding your true identity in Christ. The more we let God take us over, the more truly ourselves we become. It is when I turn to Christ, when I give up myself to his personality, that I first begin to have a real personality of my own. From C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity. The woman in Luke 7 surrendered her pride. This woman entered a room where she was unwelcomed. She knew people would stare, people would whisper, and people would judge. Yet she came anyway. Why? Because her desperation for Jesus became greater than her pride. Real surrender requires humility. James 4:6 says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Her identity was surrendered. By surrendering pride was proof that she was no longer living for herself. Pride says, "I'm fine. I don't need help. I can fix myself. I want control." Humility says, "Jesus, I need you." The question each of us must ponder is, where is pride keeping me from fully surrendering? The woman in Luke 7 surrendered fear of people. This woman stopped caring about what everyone else thought. The opinions in the room no longer controlled her. Only Jesus mattered. Many women today are imprisoned by fear of rejection, fear of disapproval, fear of being misunderstood, fear of not measuring up, fear of disappointing people. We exhaust ourselves trying to maintain image, but freedom begins when we fear God more than people. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of mankind is a snare, but the one who trusts in the Lord is protected." This reminds me of a time when I lived unsurrendered and had fear of man. My identity was wrapped up a little bit in trying to make sure that I didn't lose my job. And I had a boss that told me that I needed to change my LinkedIn profile so that it didn't read Servant of Jesus, but instead touted all of my, I guess, worldly approvals, worldly accomplishments. And yet, when he told me I needed to change it, I knew it was wrong, and I told him I wouldn't. And I was really surprised that he had asked me to do that because he himself was a Christian as well. We have to be careful not to bow to the opinion of the world, but to surrender our lives only to Jesus, not to people. The question we must ask ourselves is, whose approval am I still striving for? The surrendered woman in Luke 7 surrendered her shame. She came openly before Jesus, broken, vulnerable, weeping, and Jesus did not humiliate her. He forgave her. The enemy wants women trapped in shame. Shame from past sins, shame from abortion, shame from relationships, shame from failure, shame from addiction, shame from secrets, shame from labels. But Jesus did not die so that we could remain condemned. Romans 8:1 says, "There is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. The cross is greater than your past." What shame are you continuing to carry that Jesus already paid for? The surrendered woman in Luke 7 surrendered what was costly. The alabaster jar mattered. It represented value, possibly security, possibly identity. Real surrender always costs something. We cannot cling to sin, control, pride, bitterness, image, comfort, and fully follow Jesus at the same time. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." Surrender is not partial. Jesus does not ask for a portion of our lives. He asks for all of us. What am I still unwilling to place at the feet of Jesus? Surrender is daily. Luke 9:23 says, "Take up your cross daily." Surrender is not a retreat emotion, a conference high, a one-time altar moment. Surrender is daily. Daily dying to self. Daily renewing the mind. Daily rejecting lies. Daily choosing obedience. Daily trusting Jesus repeatedly. This world desires to keep us distracted, to keep us so consumed with what we feel or how we are perceived that we never truly surrender. Romans 12:1-2 says, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Daily surrender may mean surrendering anxiety, surrendering comparison, surrendering bitterness, surrendering relationships, surrendering control, surrendering secret sin, surrendering your plans, surrendering your image, surrendering your future, surrendering whatever keeps you from Jesus. Jesus offers rest, not performance. Many women are exhausted, trying to keep up, trying to prove themselves, trying to carry burdens, trying to perform for acceptance. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The world says, strive harder. Jesus says, come surrendered. His desire is to take that burden. The beauty of this story in Luke 7 of the woman who washed the feet of Jesus with her tears is that Simon labeled her by her sin. Jesus restored her by his grace. Culture defines women by appearance, past mistakes, success, failure, followers, feelings. But Jesus says, follow me. Your identity is not in your past. It is not in your trauma. It is not in your addiction. It is not in your shame. It is not in your divorce. It is not in your failures. It is not in your reputation. It is not in your social media image. Your identity is found in Christ alone. What are you still carrying today? What false identity have you believed? What burden have you refused to surrender? What would happen if you truly laid your life at the feet of Jesus? Maybe today Jesus is asking you to surrender pride or fear or shame, approval, control, bitterness, secret sins, your plans, your image, or your identity. The sinful woman came broken, ashamed, and rejected, but she left forgiven, restored, and free. And Jesus still does the same work today. Let's pray. Lord God, I ask right now that you would help each one of us to lay down the world's requirements for identity and to pick up our cross and follow you. Lord, we know that our identity in you is the only thing that matters. And so we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be completely surrendered to you, to be completely surrendered to whatever you might have for our lives. Lord, that we would surrender whatever it is that is keeping us from you. So, Lord, we thank you and we ask that you would minister to each one of us and show us our true identity in you. In Jesus' name, amen.